Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you will not hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of the show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in his word that he would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here with vital insights from God's word is pastor and author Joe Schimmel.
Hello, brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, the fastest half hour in radio, where we learn to discern God's will for our lives, the difference between light and darkness, right and wrong, good and evil, and discover what God has for us, who he is, what his word says, what his plan is, how he's to be glorified in us. And we've been looking at the question of Christmas. And when I say the question of Christmas, we're talking about whether or not Christians can celebrate Christ's birth on December 25th. Is it wrong? Is it prohibited in Scripture? Or do Christians have the allowance by God, the permission, or actually the joy of celebrating Christmas on the 25th? And we're looking at this question, and this is part two as Christmas is ahead of us. And it's not just about that question. In fact, this answer I'm giving, it's not just about Christmas. In fact, the answer I'm giving is exciting to me because we're answering the first charge, kind of the biggest charge against Christians celebrating Christmas, and that is that it's idolatry, that Christians are engaging themselves in idolatry. It's brought by the Jehovah's Witnesses who contend that it's creature worship. And last week I read from the Watchtower and Tract Society, and I revealed that the Jehovah's Witnesses at one time celebrated Christmas. For years they were celebrating Christmas. And then they came to the conclusion that it was, creature worship. And that's, of course, because they don't believe Jesus is God. And they're accusing Christians of engaging in idolatry, what they call creature worship, because there are all these songs that praise and exalt and worship the Lord Jesus Christ, all these beautiful carols and what have you. And what I want to do is deal with part two of that answer, and I'll review a little bit of last week and then go into some other scriptures, because I found it fascinating the more I looked at the question of Christmas, which I have off and on through the years, but more specifically when I looked at the question of worshiping Jesus on the day of his birth, and looking at the deity of Christ. And I've studied that, and I've given several studies, scores of studies through the years on the deity of Christ. But when I looked at it in conjunction with his birth, I found it quite amazing that the Holy Spirit in Scripture interweaves the whole concept of the fact that Jesus is God with his birth. That shouldn't be surprising to us because we celebrate his birth because it's the incarnation. It's when God became a man. But I found it very intriguing that God himself, by his Spirit, revealed to us in his word that Jesus was not only God and is God, but he connects it so radically with his birth, including the worship of Jesus, which gives us a very strong precedent for worshiping Jesus, not only on the when we celebrate his birth, but every day of the year. Now, it's interesting because when we look at the main verse that speaks of, God becoming a man, a lot of us would probably think of John 1:14, where it says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." That speaks of the first Christmas when God became a man. But who is the Word that became flesh? We learn that from John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There it declares that the Word was not only with God, but the Word was God. And then it goes on to say in verses 2 and 3, the same was the beginning with God. And then verse 3 says that all things were created by him, and that nothing came into being but by him. That is, by the Word that was made flesh, that is with God and is God. It says all things were created by him, and nothing came into being but by him. That shows you that Jesus was not a created being. Shows you that Jesus created everything. And Jesus is called God there, who created everything, nothing being created but by him. And then in verse 14, we drop down a few verses, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then in verse 18, he's called the only begotten God. So most definitely, Christmas is not creature worship. It's worship of the God-man, the God who became a man, the God who says of himself that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one who was born in Bethlehem, and Malachi chapter 5, verse 2 says that his going forth, even though he'll be born in Bethlehem, it says will be from everlasting. God is from everlasting to everlasting, without beginning, without end. God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, states of himself that he is the first and the last. Now, it's quite amazing when we examine this and we consider it, because in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6, which I wish I had time to go through all these verses, we did that last week, so I'm just reviewing a little bit here, is in Hebrews chapter 1, we read that God the Father speaks to the Son and says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. In the beginning, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands." He calls him God over and over again. And in verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 1, it says that Jesus created everything again. However, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6, I think it's a quite amazing verse. Check this out. It says, "When he," that is the Father, "brings his firstborn into the world," that would be the first Christmas, "he says, let all the angels of God worship him." Did you catch that, folks? Listen carefully. I mean, we should be radically excited that Jesus is God and that the scriptures are so clear about it. Hebrews 1:6, it says, "When he," speaking of the Father, "brings his firstborn into the world," the first Christmas, "he says, let all God's angels worship him." Folks, God's angels, all of his angels, that's the seraphim, that's the cherubim, that's all the various angels everywhere in existence, they are commanded to worship Jesus at his birth when he would come into the world. Isn't it amazing? We also see in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, when Jesus is born, we see the praise, the exaltation, the worship of not only the shepherds, but the angels who proclaim that the firstborn, that Jesus Christ has come into the world, and they worship the Lord God. It's interesting as well, in Hebrews chapter 3, just a little bit later, we read this: "Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses." Well, how much greater honor should Jesus receive than Moses? I mean, Moses is, if you talk to, Jewish folks that are way into the Old Testament, you talk to them about their greatest heroes of the Old Testament, you'll hear Moses, you'll hear Abraham. But guess what? The author of Hebrews tells us that Jesus is found worthy of greater honor than Moses, but how much greater? The Jehovah's Witnesses would say, well, he's a creature too, so not that much greater. Well, guess what? It goes on to say, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. And then it says, for the builder of all things is God. Check that out, folks. Did you ever think of that? Look at Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, specifically verses 3 and 4. It says Jesus is to receive greater glory than Moses, just as the builder of the house is to receive greater glory than the house. And then it says, why? Because the builder of all things is God. That shouldn't surprise us, because in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, two chapters earlier, it says Jesus made everything. And then in verses 5 through 11, it goes on to talk about how he made everything and that he made the heavens and the earth and what have you. So folks, is it wrong to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it wrong to honor him and worship him as God? No, on the contrary, it's wrong not to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. It's wrong not to worship him as God. In fact, we learn in John chapter 8, verse 58, that Jesus says, "Before Abraham was, I am." That's not good grammar from an English standpoint, but that's great theology. Before Abraham was, Jesus says, "I am." The Greek words, ego eimi, the Septuagint, Greek translation of the Old Testament, we have God in the burning bush, speaking to Moses, and Moses says, "Who do I say sent me?" And he says, "Tell him, I am that I am sent you." The Septuagint translates "I am" there as ego eimi hoan, ego eimi, I am. And then we also read throughout the book of Isaiah, chapter 40 through chapter 48, over and over again, God claims he's the only God, and he keeps saying, "I am," ego eimi, alone, God. Jesus says, "Before Abraham was, I am." How serious is this, folks? Really serious. If you're a Jehovah's Witness listening by way of radio, I really encourage you to think this through. Why is it that the Watchtower is a Johnny-come-lately religion? Jesus said, "I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." His church has been around for 2,000 years, long before the rise of Catholicism, long before the rise of Mormonism, long before the rise of the Krishnas and the Moonies and Christian Science and religious science, long before the rise of the Watchtower. "I will build my church," says Jesus, "and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The faith was once for all delivered to the saints." Jude, verse 3. The scriptures tell us that God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, until we all come to the unification of the faith. There would not be a parenthesis where the church would not exist, and God would have to rise up some prophet to restart it. In fact, this is so serious that we have the right Jesus, and that we understand why we exalt Jesus, why we love Jesus, why we sing songs to Jesus, is because he's God in the flesh. Is because God became a man. In fact, we're told in John chapter 7, verse 24 by Jesus himself, that if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. That is why this is so serious, folks. If you do not believe that I am, ego eimi, you will die in your sins. Now, a lot of your translations will say, if you do not believe that I am he. But the word he will usually be italicized, because it's not in the Greek. Jesus literally said, if you do not believe, Ego eimi, or I am, you will die in your sins. What's he saying? Before Abraham was, the very next chapter, I am. And they knew what he was saying. The Jews picked up stones to stone him. And later in chapter 10, they say, because you, being a man, claim to be God. They knew what he was saying. They knew what he was claiming. They were very conversant with the Old Testament passages about who God is. And Jesus was claiming and is. That is who Jesus is. In fact, in John chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, it says this, moreover, this is what Jesus says, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son. Now listen carefully. It says, Jesus goes on to say, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Did you catch that? This is the will of the Father, that all would honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. In other words, if you do not honor the Son as you honor the Father, as God, Jesus says you're not even honoring the Father. That should any person, anybody who denies the deity of Christ, denies that he's God, is denying all these clear scriptures on the subject and says, well, I just like to relate to the Father. I just reject Jesus as the Messiah, or I reject him as the Son of God, or I reject him as your witnesses do, as God himself. Guess what, folks? You're in huge trouble, because Jesus says you're not even honoring the Father then. And he says, if you don't believe that I am, you will die in your sins. This is serious stuff. That's why Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 warns about not believing in a different Jesus, receiving a different gospel, a different spirit. There's a lot of deception out there, but consider the scriptures I'm sharing with you. It's so clear that Jesus is God. In fact, we're told in John right there, we're told unequivocally that we must worship, or honor, I should say, Jesus as one of the Father. How do we honor the Father? With worship. We ought to honor Jesus with worship. I prove from Scripture, Hebrews 1:6, when the Father brings Jesus in the world, he tells all the angels of God, all of them, to worship him. Folks, we're commanded to worship Jesus. In fact, what do we see? We see in the book of Revelation, when Jesus is in his exalted state, there in Revelation chapter 5, at the right hand of the Father, enthroned, guess what happens? He's honored right along with the Father. He's worshiped right along with the Father. And guess what? All the holy angels and every creature on earth and in heaven and under the earth will be doing this. In fact, this means that all the Mormons and all the Jehovah's Witnesses and all those who deny the deity of Christ and do not worship Jesus will one day worship him, whether it's in heaven or earth or under the earth. But guess what? Only blood-bought, born-again Christians can enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. You can't enter his kingdom if you are not born again, if you do not believe that Jesus is God. In fact, let me read Revelation chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, and reveal to you that God's word shows that Jesus, the Lamb of God, is worshipped right along with the Father by the angels. We read this. Speaks of all these different myriads and thousands of thousands of angels, quote, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing, and every created thing which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them. I heard saying to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Remember John the Baptist, John 1:29 spoke of Jesus being the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And in chapter 5 earlier, John the Apostle sees Jesus as slain as a lamb, although he declares him to be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Goes on to say that they say to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. And the four living creatures kept saying, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. Folks, the Father and the Son are both worshiped. God is one, but God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about a husband and wife becoming one, a cod, flesh, two, being one. The scriptures speak of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit as being the one true God, three persons, one God. Folks, on the other side of the break, we'll be back in just 30 seconds, so we'll be back pretty quick. We will be discussing other verses, other scriptures that deal with the first Christmas and how Jesus is to be worshiped, is to be celebrated, is to be exalted. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how they relate to family, culture, and the church. If you'd like to learn more about our life-changing resources, such as They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll and The Submerging Church, check out our website at goodfightradio.org.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, to the Good Fight Radio Show, where we learn to discern God's will for our lives and understand the complex questions that are asked regarding the Christian faith. We're answering the charge that Christians should not celebrate Christmas. The main charge that's given is because it's creature worship brought by the Jehovah's Witnesses. They claim that Jesus was only an angel. He was the Archangel Michael. He wasn't God in the flesh. And I've been revealing scripture after scripture that God reveals to us that Jesus is indeed God in the flesh, but I've been showing many of them to you in the context of his birth, which is the whole irony here. Last week, in part one of this, I gave you scriptures regarding his birth in the Old Testament, scriptures that find themselves on more Christmas cards than just about any scripture from the Old Testament, one being chapter 7 of the book of Isaiah, verse 14, where it speaks of God's Son coming in the world and that his name will be called Emmanuel. And then we also looked at Isaiah chapter 9, 6, another verse that's among the most quoted on Christmas cards. I'd say 7, 14, 9, 6 by far the most. 9, 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Isn't that great? A child is born, that's the son of Mary. Through Mary, unto us a son is given, given by Yahweh, conceived by the Holy Spirit. And the government, it says, will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called, now listen to this, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Father of Eternity, or Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Folks, Jesus is undoubtedly God. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses would say, well, you know what? He's not Almighty God there. He's just Mighty God. Really? Okay, well, how many gods do you believe in? You are now admitting that Jesus is God? Well, no, he's not really God. He's just called Mighty God there. But that's not what Yahweh's called. I wouldn't bet on that, folks, because in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 20 and 21, the very next chapter, it tells us that Israel will rely on Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel. They will return to the Mighty God. Yahweh is called Mighty God in the very next chapter. The same Hebrew is used there as chapter 9, and in Hebrews and in Isaiah chapter 9, Jesus, when he comes in the world, will be called Mighty God. And then in Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 17 and 18, it tells us, quote, now listen to this, "The Mighty God, whose name is the Yahweh, or the Lord of Hosts." In the New World Abomination, it's called the New World Translation, it translates that word Jehovah there because it's speaking of Yahweh. It's speaking of the Lord God. Well, guess what? The Mighty God is the Lord God. He is Yahweh. Chapter 10, he is Yahweh. Chapter 9, Jesus is Yahweh. In fact, we have clear scripture that shows us, reveals to us that Jesus is the Almighty God. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "Behold, he, Jesus, cometh with clouds, and all eyes shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kings of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." I'm quoting, I believe, the King James is what I have memorized there. But it's very interesting, in verse 8, the very next verse, after it speaks of Jesus coming in the clouds, we have, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." And now, people can debate as to whether that refers to Jesus in the verse before or whether it refers to the Father as the Almighty, but it doesn't really matter. You know why? Because a few verses later, in verses 17 and 18, Jesus identifies himself as the Almighty God. It says, "And when I saw him," that is when John saw Jesus at the Isle of Patmos, he says, "I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead." No doubt it was Jesus, lives and was dead. "Behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of Hades and of death." That's because all authority, the Father says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, has been given unto Jesus. He has authority over Hades and death, but Jesus calls himself the first and the last. Isn't that amazing? Because in Isaiah chapter 44, 6, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts," two people, "I am the first and the last. Beside me, there is no God." When Jesus claims to be first and last, he's identifying himself exclusively as the only God, folks. Otherwise, it would be blasphemy. That's why the Jews, some of them wanted to stone him to death, because they knew he was declaring himself to be God. Folks, there's no way around it. There's absolutely no way around it. Jesus is God. In fact, we read twice in Jeremiah, Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6, and Jeremiah 33, 15 and 16. It speaks of the Messiah when he comes into the world. It says, "And this is his name by which he shall be called Jehovah," or Yahweh, "our righteousness." Go ahead. Read Jeremiah chapter 23, 5 and 6. Jeremiah 33, 15 and 16 says that the Messiah's name will be called Yahweh, our righteousness. Now, folks, the clincher is quite amazing here. It's already been clinched. It's been a slam dunk throughout the program, right from the beginning, the inception, we've shown that Jesus is God. But on his birthday, celebrate him and worship as God. It's creature worship? Nope. In fact, what did the wise men do? Matthew 2, 1 and 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Folks, they came bearing gold, frankincense, myrrh. You know what's heavy about that? That's the fulfillment of prophecy that states when the Messiah would come, he would be worshipped as God with things like gold and incense. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 3, it says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord, that's Yahweh, is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord, Yahweh, will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles, speaks of the wise men there, shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Now check out verse 6. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Yahweh. Why did they come to worship Yahweh? To find Jesus and worship as Yahweh? Because the Lord says he's coming, and they're going to bring kings, Gentile kings, they're going to bring frankincense and gold to him and worship him as Yahweh. Jesus indeed is Yahweh in the flesh, folks. Jesus was worshipped as the Savior. He is our Savior. But Isaiah, God says, is there any Savior besides me? He says, I know not any. Just like he says, he created everything by himself. Obviously, is Jesus a Savior? He must be God. In fact, we read in Philippians chapter 2 that it's not just the wise men. It's not just all the angels. We read in Revelation chapter 5 that everybody, human and angel, will worship him. And in Philippians chapter 2, it says, every knee will bow down and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. But you know what that's taken from? It's taken from Isaiah 45, 22, and 23. God says he's the only God. And that every knee will bow and tongue confess that he is Yahweh, that he is Lord, that he is the only God. That's what's going on there in Isaiah. But however, in Philippians chapter 2, it says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, what's amazing about that, folks, is just before that, it says, although he existed, Jesus, in the very form of God, he did not consider equality with God something to be held on to. He let go of it, the kenosis. He emptied himself of all the worship he was receiving in heaven. He didn't cease to be God, and he became a man. And died the cruel death on the cross for our sins. And therefore it says his name is exalted above every name, the highest name above all. And the amazing thing about this, folks, is it says he exists in the very form of God. That contradicts the watchtower, because the very verse they use to proclaim that they're Jehovah's Witnesses is Isaiah 43:10 that says, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, my witnesses and my servants whom I have chosen, that before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. No God formed before him or after him. Yet we read in Philippians chapter 2 that Jesus existed in the very form of God. Well, since no God was before him, formed, or after him formed, therefore, Jesus exists in the form of God, is the only one true God. The confusion comes in this fact that he became a man and he prays to the Father, and the watchtower is told, oh, well, why would he pray to the Father? If the Father be greater than him and so forth, they miss the fact that he became a man and relates to the Father as the God-man. But Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, Father, glorify me with the glory that I had with you in the beginning, and it's restored to him, and everything flows to the throne and worships the Father and the Son. Hey, Merry Christmas, folks. Christmas around the corner. And yes, you have biblical warrant to celebrate Christ's birth and exalt him and worship him as God. It's not creature worship. In fact, not to worship Jesus and give him the honor that goes to the Father is grievous sin. In the next show, we'll look at not what Jehovah's Witnesses are saying in regard to why we shouldn't celebrate Christmas, but we'll look at what other well-meaning Christians are saying in regard to, hey, we should stay away from Christmas and celebrating Christ's birth. We'll check out some of those reasons next time, and we'll search the scriptures for answers. We thank you for joining us again on the Good Fight Radio Show. We encourage you to keep your eyes on Jesus and your hand on the plow. Press on to know Jesus and to make him known. May God richly bless you as you seek his face.
You've been listening to pastor and author Joe Schimmel on the Good Fight Radio Show. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, please visit goodfightradio.org, where we feature many eye-popping and life-changing resources on DVD and CD, as well as an archive of previously aired shows. You can visit our podcast page at goodfightradio.org to find many of Pastor Joe's full Sunday morning teachings. If you've been blessed by this show and would like to share this blessing with others, you can help support our ministry by visiting our donate page also at goodfightradio.org. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062. Or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on the Good Fight Radio Show. Love life,
down to just one thing. That's to know you, oh Jesus, make you know. And all of life, it comes down to just one thing.